That weighs
for the broadest part maybe 24 inches.
And it just raises with a steady soar, and it defies the power of gravity.
Do you think it'll never stop? God says, that's an idea. He says, do you see you people? He says, that old rascal would have held you still. And he said, the grasp of Pharaoh upon you people was just like the drag of gravity. And he says, if Pharaoh had had his way, you would never have been out.
Wind and brought you to myself.
It's power. You know, I don't only see the power of salvation in this expression, but I see the plane of salvation. You know what God's telling them? He said, when I saved you people, he said, I didn't only liberate you, but he said, I lifted you.
He said, from the mud flats of Egypt. And he said, from the banks and the alluvial plains of the Nile.
He says, I have brought you people to the higher ground of the foothills of Sinai. He says, I'll give you a lift. You know, there were men standing there that day listening to Moses and to what God said through Moses. And as they stood upon the foothills of Sinai, they never had been as high in their life. If Pharaoh had had his way, their nose would still have been in the mud. Can I say to you, brothers and sisters, not only does God's salvation give a man liberty, but it gives him a lift. You know, we have life on a higher plane. I cannot understand it. Well, maybe I can. Maybe I shouldn't say that. Because there's an Egyptian part of me yet that has never been cured. But you know, it's difficult for me to understand. There are people who profess to have been raised by the eagle wings of God's salvation and lifted to a higher plane, and they spent most of their time amongst the mud of Egypt. They're going back. I would say, brethren and sisters, leave the little pastimes, the little bits and pieces, the passing pleasures of Egypt's society, leave it to them. Because God by mighty power has brought us out. And he has brought us up. There's enough down there making bricks. Let us enjoy the elevation and the emancipation of the eagle's wings. I don't only see the plane of salvation and the power of salvation, but I want to emphasize this very, very quickly and give it its importance. I see in this context and in this picture the purpose of salvation. You know what he said? He said, I bear you on eagle's wings. And I brought you to Sinai. No. I bear you on eagle's wings, and I'm going to bring you to the land of Canaan. No. He says there's something better than Sinai or Canaan. But he says, I bear you on eagle's wings, and I brought you to myself. Can I say to you, brothers and sisters, the real purpose of our salvation was that God might bring a people to enjoy himself. You see, I got saved because I wanted to be happy. I got saved because I wanted to be free. I got saved because I wanted to do Christian work. Listen, let me say tonight, especially for you young believers, you get plenty of ministry about getting busy. Oh, get busy. Keep going. Spread the gospel. Give out tracts and read the Bible. And go to meetings and don't miss a thing. Put your best into it. And I have given those little bits and pieces of ministry, and I say amen to them all. But to you young believers, can I say this? There's something more important than service. It's communion. You know what God wants? He wants to have you. And he wants you to have him. I feel, if I was being asked to put upon a finger on the biggest failure of our day, it's not so easy. I've heard all kinds of suggestions. Far too many Christians have had a vision. Oh. Is that the biggest problem of today? Far too many Christians are worldly and materialistic. Is that the biggest problem? Listen, brethren, those are only symptoms. Those are only symptoms of the problem. You know what the cause of the problem is? If we could just get closer to the Lord. You see, if you can get a man to enjoy God and Christ and the things of God and the character of God, and if his soul can be radiated with the glory of God, and his heart can be filled with the Word of God, and his affections can be won to the Christ of God, if you can get a man there. You see these other bits of things that talk of school and talk about television and golf and this and that, those things will just disappear like snuff.
He says, I brought you on eagle's wings out of Egypt by mighty power. I raised you to a higher plane.
And he says, best of all, I brought you to myself.
That's why in the next chapter he says, if he has brought them here, he wants them to enjoy it here. And the very first commandment, this chapter 19 I'm quoting from, the very first commandment in chapter 20 is this, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not sin.
First commandment is, thou shalt have no other God before me.
He says, I have brought you to myself. And he says, I want you to keep me first. And he says, if you keep me first, he says, everything else will slot into it. Right down the line, to the smallest and the most practical detail of life. God's eagle wings connected with salvation. I want to speak a little bit about the second picture that we read. And God's eagle wings connected with support. You see, the beautiful picture. Moses, you see him, the man who heard that figure, for it was God speaking to Moses about that eagle wing. When Moses was composing his final poetry in chapter 32 of Deuteronomy, he went back to what God said at the beginning of the wilderness journey, and he used the picture for God again of the eagle. But it's different. I presume that the picture in Deuteronomy chapter 32 is where an eagle bird, mother bird, is engaged in the training of her little one. Now, to get them trained, she adopts, according to Deuteronomy 32, quite an unusual, interesting procedure. We're told that there'll come a stage, she knows exactly when the stage will be. There comes a stage when she spreads her wings and she flutters over the nest. And it says that she stirs up the nest. And the little eaglet, they're lovely and cozy. It's a fairly big, commodious nest. Maybe an eagle would build a nest, maybe 4 or 5 feet wide, a fairly big stick, a wonderful piece of architecture. It looks rough. It would look rough to the human eye. But if you were trying to build one, you mightn't just be able to do it so handy. And there they are, these sticks in the nest, where they have been maybe for a couple of months. And there comes a day when the mother bird who has been bringing them little bits of flesh and various delicacies that they would need, and making them so comfortable, putting feathers into line the nest and all this, so on and so forth, there comes a day when she starts to shake it and disturb them. And they would nearly say to the mother, oh, let us alone, we're lovely and cozy here. It's nice and comfy here. Don't be disturbing us, mother bird. What do you do? Oh, she says, listen. She says, I don't just want my blue to be nest bird. I want my blue to be real eagle. She says, there's more to eagle life than just cuddling up in a nest. So she'll stir up the nest and cause this upset, and she'll eventually get one of them onto the edge of the nest. And if need be, she'll actually push it off. Oh! And you see the little creature, it's just peeled with nerves. And it's shaking, and it gives a flap or two of its wings. It has never flown before, except a leaf splitter in the nest. And there it looks out over the edge of this nest, and many hundreds of feet, and it gives a breath of a flap or two, and it starts to go down. Oh, it says, those brains are a little bit smashed and all. And just when it's going down, big mother bird swoops down underneath the passages and lifts it with a knife out of the nest.
And she'll give it another day or two, and then she'll stir up the nest, and she'll put, and lo and behold, the little one will fly better, but maybe it'll give her a bit of a squawk or two, and good. She's bringing it back up. And she keeps trying that. Patiently and repeatedly. Until this little chick and child of hers is able to act like an adult eagle. I said, Moses, what that mother bird did with her chicks, he says, that's what God did with you. He said, he brought you into the wilderness. He said, it was a very disturbing experience. He said, in that wilderness, there were times that he allowed you to hunger, because he wanted to show you what marvelous food he could get. But why did he not send the food before we got hungry? I know. He upset you. You know what he was doing? He was training you to trust. There were times he let you get thirsty just to show you what marvelous water he could supply. But why did he not send the water before we got there? No, no. He was training you to trust. You see, he wanted to make infants into adults. Can I say, dear brothers and sisters, I'm hasting here more quickly than I should. You know, sometimes the Lord upsets us. As you look back, those who are a little bit older now, as you look back across the space of your life, maybe you can recall times when you were just about getting it right. The family, some of the children had got saved, and the business was in very deep shape, and everybody was well. You were just nice and cozy. And the next thing, the word cancer came through the door. And you weren't missing a meeting. And you were reading and praying, and you were behaving right. And you thought the nest was just as cozy as it could be. The whole thing was upset. And you thought you were going down. And there was such a disturbance that your heart just sank like that dropping igloo. And when you were going down, the Lord came near and he swooped under and he helped you to feel a support, the likes of which you never knew before. You know, the God upset her neck. That's what he did. You know, you've heard Brian speak about it. That most unusual therefore. The strange therefore of John 11. It says the Lord heard that Lazarus was sick. And then it tells us that he loved Mary and Martha. And then it says, when he heard that they were sick, he loved them. Therefore, he stayed 2 days where he was. You see, what? What do you mean? He loved them, therefore he said to, you say, sure, he loved them, he should have gone right away. He loved them, therefore he said 2 more days. He said, some love that. Why didn't he go right away? I know the Lord could have healed Lazarus. But you know, he waited back. And of course, we know the story now that Lazarus died. I'll tell you, do you see if the Lord had healed Lazarus? Those 2 girls would have never seen his tears. I don't know how long they lived. But if you had been talking to them years after that, you say that was a very sad experience. You're an awful upset there. An awful upset behind your brother, died. Upset? You say, we weren't half upset. You say, you know what I want to tell you? We discovered the support of Jesus in those days, such as we never knew before. You see him right beside us, and we actually saw him with him. The touch that heals the broken heart is never felt above. The angels know its blessedness, but Mary saw his love. Dear brethren and sisters, God has kept our lives just so that sometime, when we are sinking, he doesn't want us just to be little infant Christians, you know. He wants to make you a real Christian. You see, if a little English bird got staying in the nest, it would never know
it would never know what real eaglehood was like.
You see those big flights? The freedom? Do you see those big feasts when the eagle bird can go down and get what it wants? Do you see those marvelous movements right across a vast expanse of a little bird
there in the nest that would never experience those great advantages of eaglehood? So it has to be a fact for the greater good. You know, brethren, can I say, do you see if I always got a fond of it, the likelihood is I would never grow.
Some of you younger believers in the media, it's good to see you here. God's delighted with you. You trusted Christ. It's great to see you here. But there's one thing I want to wish to see you. See the God that has saved you.
He not be content that you should stay a baby Christian.
And so that you might know what real Christianity is, the big Christianity, the adult Christianity, the great big world of freedom and faith, God at times will stir up your little nest just that he might train and teach and show his marvelous support. Now, I want you to read. It's not just a great thing to start reading at 9 o'clock. Just a minute. I don't know what time this may. I hope you happen to catch the train. I know. The Book of Ruth. For the next reference to these wings in chapter 2. The Book of Ruth and chapter 2. The second chapter of Ruth. You all know this beautiful story very well, so I'll read just briefly. Verse 11 of Ruth 2. And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath truly been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wing thou art come. Words of sublime beauty. You know, there are two things in this passage. It's Boaz speaking to this Ruth, just a stranger, the foreigner, and he says to her, he says, now I want to tell you, he says, my dear Jared, he says, do you know that you have come to trust under the wings of the Lord God of Israel? Now I say there are two things. The first one I mention very quickly is this, the space. The space. Now, whose are these wings? They are the wings of the Lord God of Israel. Uh-huh. You say, who's get underneath these wings? Well, you say, sure, anybody with half a brain would know that Israelites would get underneath them. The wings of the Lord God of Israel. But you know what Boaz says to this girl? He says, I want to tell you. He says, even though you're a Moabite, a Philistine wouldn't have been too bad. And an Amorite wouldn't have been, a Moabite, that old immoral crowd, look at that mixed up in their family, sure it's a disgrace. A Moabite! Moabite, not get in here. There's no Moabite in here. He says, I want to tell you, you see those wings of the Lord God of Israel? He says they have got space to accommodate you. For that grace. Brethren, we're all more than. It's great that the protecting wing of Jehovah wasn't reserved for the nation. For Gentile sinners far away. But you know, the night that you came to Christ and the night that I came, and he took us in. And he put his warm and his welcoming wing around us. The foot state. And the second thing that he tells in this expression is not only the question of state, but it's also the assurance of the pride. He says, Ruth, I want to tell you, he says, now that you have come there, he says, a full reward will be given you of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. He said, you'll find everything supplied
and not to visit. Mind you, just as a new convert, just as a stranger, just as a widow, I love at this stage in the meeting, I not list the needs that she had, but mind you, she had needs. She needed a job.
She couldn't go down to the DHSS. She's a widow. She didn't have a widow's pension. She didn't have any support. She needed a job. She needed a home. She needed a husband. And after this stranger, and she has stepped out on the path of faith, and she has taken a step with Naomi, and she might wonder how this will all work out. I tell you,
it was just like balm to her soul to hear this man say, "Yes, look, my dear girl, you have come into a position, and every single need that you have will be supplied." She got it all. She got a job. She got a husband. Can I say this? Some of you younger folks again, you have trusted God for the salvation of your soul. Don't be afraid to trust God for your work. God's interested in that. Don't be afraid to trust God for your employment and your job and your studies. God, can I say this? If you need a wife, or vice versa, if you need a husband, I want to say this. If you have trusted God for your soul, you can trust Him for that as well. You know, the world around us has some very modern and doubtful dating methods. But I think those who are going to please the Lord can wait on Him and can seek His will and can follow His word. She got a welcome into this man, the Redeemer's faith. You know, I would love, the brethren have often applied this to the local assembly, and there are other applications can be given, and I have given them myself for maybe a time or two. But you know, it is. You just let me do that before I go. You know, it is a lovely thing just to apply it to the assembly. You know, in the assembly, in this field, one of the things that this girl was supplied with was just a welcome. You know, the man spoke to her, and the servant spoke to her, and when Boaz came into the field and asked him if he knew all of it, the girl was wanted and she was welcome. Even though she was new to the look of it, she was a Moabite. You know, there are some of our buildings and halls, brother. I know the halls not the assembly, but they're gallery. And you see, if a stranger came in, you nearly think they were a man from Mars, the way the people look at them. Hardly get a welcome at all. You know, she found favor. Another thing that she found in this field, she found food in the field. Got handfuls and purpose. Her needs were supplied, her hunger was supplied. Another thing that she found in this field was fellowship and friendship. She made friends with the young girls, she made friends with the young men who were working for the Redeemer. She found friendship. She found all that in the field. Another thing, of course, that she found in the field was work. She wasn't afraid to work. See, this gleaning business was back-breaking work and back-bending work. It was humiliating work. And this girl wasn't afraid. She wasn't afraid to get down on her hands and knees and get involved in the thing. Again, I see quite a number of younger folks here. You know, I know that you're looking some kind of security and some kind of an anchor. And can I say, I was talking tonight, I said the subject tonight was safety from life stress. Now, I'm going to speak personally, and I know there are 50 other voices could identify with what I'm going to say now. There are many brethren in this meeting, and of all their faults and failures, and the ups and downs over the years, they could join with me and say that they have found fellowship in God's assembly to be a great safeguard. You know, there's a protection in the assembly. And can I say to younger folks, if you want to enjoy the assembly, get involved in it. You start off where she started off, at ground level.
Get it. She didn't come into the field and say, oh, I don't know if I can get the guy on a picture of it. I don't know, Picor, right? I'm not. Who do you think I am? I want to get up and out here. Oh, you don't want anything with other than Picor was a cork. I knew what, no, just whatever was going on, she was prepared to get her sleeves rolled up to bend her knee and bow her back and get her hand out.
You know, I say to you folks, if you want to be happy in the assembly, get into it. You know, most of the people that leave the assembly, you know why they leave it? Most of them, I don't. They were never in it at all. Never in it.
Never got involved in it. Never got involved in the Bible reading. Never got involved in the morning meeting. Never got involved in
the prayer meeting. I say to you younger folks, just start off, you know. Another thing, and I'd have to stop as I stopped here. I'm still 4 feet in it. 6 feet, 8 today, but that's all right. We may postpone that. I'm telling the truth. I'm not another. I speak the truth in Christ. I lie not.
Another thing that she found in this field, the supplies, you know, she might have wondered. She might have wondered. This man says that I'm not only a redeemer, but I'm under the wings of Jehovah, and everything will be supplied. I've got friendship and food and favor, and I've got a function in the field. They've given me a job to do. It's great.
A little thing that made her cross her lips. How long will this last? You know what he said? When she was home to Naomi that night, Naomi said, how did you get on to the food? Great. And then, nearly at a little bit of the end, she said, Naomi, do you know what?
She said, I enjoyed it to the full. She said, it was a killer, not work, but I enjoyed it to the full. She says, the very presence of the Lord was a... And she says, you know what the man told me? She says, what he said?
She says, he told me to stick at this field for it'll keep me going to the end of harvest. I happened to go... You know, we have far too many people going to sideshows.
Young people, I'm going to straight now. Far too many are carrying me, and I hear whimpers and whispers even when I'm not told, oh, I just find nothing to do in the assembly.
Well, all I say is you haven't been in the assembly that I'm in, because there's that much to do, I can't get the half of it done.
Visiting, gospel work, Bible study, teaching, ministry, children's work, worship.
You know, there's so much in the assembly. Listen, brother, every one of us here tonight, God has put as much in his field that will keep us going to the season's God. And may God keep every one of us that are in assembly fellowship, may he keep us happy there until the season's over and until the Redeemer's harvest has been finished. He says, you can come, you're welcome. He says, you're welcome because you're a worker. All workers welcome. Lodgers not wanted.
Far too many lodgers. Spongers not needed. Workers urgently required. Oh, I tell you, dear workers, you all these people that tell me, oh, I got nothing in it.
I'll tell you straight now. I'll tell you just absolutely straight. The reason most of them got nothing in it is because they put nothing into it. And when they left, very often they took a bit out of it. And took something with them. But he said, you've got a place of supply. The Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art, come to trust. Now, there are 6 references to this in the Psalm. So, 5, 6, 4, 10. No, I think I better leave that.
The wings of salvation. The wings of support. The wings of supply, the 6 references, you boys go through them tonight before you go to bed. 6 lovely references. I'll start off with Psalm 17. The psalmist in the midst of all, he says, Lord, I'm surrounded with deadly enemies.
Mind you, we have deadly enemies.
He says, Lord, I can't face them.
He says, keep me as the apple of thine eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wing.
I want to talk for a minute about the wings of supplication. You know, some of you Christians are down. I know that. You're bound to be, that's why. Some of you are dying.
Some of you are losing. Some of you are losing altitude. Those women talk of amazing, and you were still going on, but you knew that you were losing, and you were still making a show for them, but you were losing, and you wonder, how can I leave here in the climbing strand?
There's only one place to send it here, and that is up there. Stay up, wait upon the Lord, thou mount up with wings as eagles.